Can you say your name for me?
Nina Freudenheim.
Wonderful. But this is the Living Legacy Project, normally at the Birchfield Penny Art Center, but today I'm joining Nina Freudenheim at her gallery on North Street. And Nina, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So, for the people who are listening, can you speak a little bit about your strong relationship with the art scene in Buffalo and sort of maybe where that started for you?
I've been in business for 40 years. This is the fourth space I've occupied. I became very, very much interested in art just after I was married. My husband shared my interest and we started going to galleries. We started going to New York and we started buying art. Galleries in New York were not like they are now. You don't walk in and see someone at a desk who won't speak to you or give you any information. They were very happy to see you. They would take you into the back room. They would pull artwork out for you to look at. They would answer any question you had. They would give you all sorts of information about the artists. I became very, very interested in art. I became more interested in the artists who made the art. So I started asking if I could make an appointment to visit the artist in his studio. And actually, that's how it all began. I began going to the studio, seeing how they lived, talking to them about what they did, why they did it, what it meant to them, how they felt about being an artist, how they could afford making art, how they could live on the money they were not making art, etc., etc. And I was, at the time, I had one child, then I had another child, and then I had another child, and I was working part-time on a variety of different things. And I was feeling as though I really wanted to do something, and I really wanted to do something with art. Mm-hmm. So I decided to open a gallery. Everyone thought I was totally crazy, but I opened it. I did open it, and I've been working at it ever since. My real interest is in the artist and in promoting the artists that I think are very gifted, very dedicated to what they're doing, and bring something else to the world of art. So I've followed that from the very, very beginning. Initially, I started working with artists who were mostly in New York, and then I expanded that. I would see artists whose work was visible in New York, but they lived in other parts of the country. Sometimes I would visit them in other parts of the country, or sometimes I would just look at their art in New York through dealers that they had there. Most of the artists lived in New York. If they were doing anything, they would move to New York because it was, and I guess, for the most part, it's still the center of the art world, although California is coming right up there. I began meeting artists here in Buffalo, many of them I knew, and I started showing some of the local artists in addition to artists from national and international places. When you work in anything, the more you work in it, the more you learn. Mm-hmm. And of course, my tastes that were very prominent when I began changed, and they continue to change. I've done basically the same thing I did as I started out doing, and that is representing artists, giving them exhibitions, doing announcements, printing invitations. Of course, now you have email as well. I continue to print invitations because I think something visual, not on the computer all the time, is worthwhile. And I continue to show many of the artists I started with. Many of them are gone. Many of them aren't making art anymore for a number of reasons. Many of them have died. And many new ones have come to the horizon. Basically, I'm doing the same thing I did when I began. I'm still loving it. still learning from it, and I hope I can continue. I have no reason to stop at this point. So that's that.
The trajectory, or I should say the period that you've been working within, you know, for the past 40 years in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
has been a period, especially within the past 10 years, of tremendous perceptions of change in Buffalo. And I will say that I think that change is happening in some communities more than other in Buffalo, and I don't think that I don't think that Buffalo love is possible until the most marginalized among us are lifted too, right? So,
are you talking about just art?
Well, I'm setting up. I'm talking about Buffalo in general.
You're talking about Buffalo in general.
So I'm saying, first of all, in Buffalo in general, that the economics of Buffalo have changed in some ways, especially in the past 10 years,
oh,
right?
Yes.
We're seeing it in the housing markets. We're seeing it in the fact that people like me, who are 30 years old, are able to find jobs in the arts in Buffalo and don't have to leave to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were here before that, you know, when it was still a very economically depressed city. And it was, what was it like in the 1970s when
mm-hmm.
you started, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the economy like? And were you taking a huge risk by starting a gallery? Or was it more economically stable at that time?
I think you're always taking a huge risk when you open a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest about it. Art appeals to a minimal amount. Number of people. It isn't this totally democratic, very open, very easy to become a part of or understand to some degree. So it really is supported by not everybody. And to think that you can do that and bring everyone in, I think is really a mistake. I don't think it really happens. I think that when I first opened, I was sort of novel, you know. Everyone thought how it was going to last. It wouldn't last. There weren't many galleries. There was one other gallery who you could consider doing basically the same thing I was, except they were concentrating exclusively on local artists.
Was that Gallery Without Walls?
It was Gallery Without Walls. I didn't want to do that because I think it's too inclusive. Artists living here don't learn just from looking at artists' work from here. There are other things happening in other parts of the world that would enhance and educate them further. And this is really what I wanted to do. So I continue to do that, and I continue to do it now. I think that there are artists that are better than other artists. I think that there are some artists who aren't as serious about what they do, not as gifted, not as maniacal as others. I think at this point, art has changed. It's not so concentrated. There's a lot of new things that have come. Certainly the computer has changed all of that, all of it. So there's not only painting and sculpture and photography and video, but there are myriads of other things that are going on. Very, very difficult to make. To make it simpler than it is, it just isn't simple anymore. It's very, very interesting. But I don't think that the economy then was any different than it is now. I don't think the economy for art has changed. I don't think the desire to collect has changed. I don't think the audience for art has changed. I think basically there are little add-ons and subtractions in all of it, but basically it's the same. Good art is good art, and it will be collected by certain people. Regional art will be collected by certain people for certain reasons. There'll be good art and bad art wherever you are and wherever you go. The idea and the hope is that people can look at it in a more open way and look at it more often, because looking at it and really looking at it can really change what you know about art.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you. That's really heartening to hear, because certainly one thing, so like I mentioned to you before we were recording, I've recorded 65 interviews thus far with living artists, for the most part, at different stages of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are young and emerging, some of them are mid-career, some of them are certainly later in their careers, and we want to take advantage of the time we have while we have it. And each of them gives such a different perspective of how they got to where they are. But one thing, the last question I tend to ask is, what do you need from your community? You know, what do you need as an artist that you're not seeing in Buffalo? And that is a question that tends to be for like our own information gathering at the Birchfield to try and figure out other ways that we can support artists. And so in that vein, a response that's often that people, many artists have replied with is more gallery representation, more galleries in Buffalo for them to exhibit their work at. And so getting to interview you is actually very exciting, you know, because it's rare for me to have the other side of it and to hear your focus beyond the local region as well, in a way that maybe perhaps would encourage other artists to move outside the region when looking for representation.
I think it's vital for artists to move outside the region. One region can't support them all their lives in the way that they're all looking for. I think the most important thing for artists to do is to make the art. To make the art and to take the time to look at it, not to want to get it out there right away, but to look at it and examine it and to think what they could learn from looking at it. And then taking it out into another space, I think, is also very important. There are tons of art galleries in Buffalo now. Tons of them. There's no reason to really need more. I'm not going to change the way I look at art. I try to see as much of what's going on around town as I possibly can. I love it when artists come to me and ask if they could show me their work or if they could send me JPEGs. It's always, always interesting to me. Doesn't mean that I'm going to take them on, but it helps me understand more what's going on here. I don't think I've ever shown, once in a while I show the work of an artist who's just come out of college or whatever. It's rare. Mm-hmm. I think that they have to really be out on their own. They have to work on their own for a number of years to find who they are. And then some, but it really, they come out painting like their professors. You can tell if they have some ability, but I tend to watch them over a longer period of time. Because if you're going to sell their art, you're also, you have the other side to look at, the person you're selling it to. You want them, I don't believe in selling art because it's going to increase in value. Nobody really knows. And when that's used as a reason, I think it's not proper. You have to educate yourself. You have to develop an eye. I like what I like is a pretty naive thing to say. You have to be able to educate yourself. You just have to go out there and look at a lot of things for a long period of time. I think that artists who want to show, I think the beginnings of that could be in group shows. And I think looking outside of the area where there are group shows or a curator's putting together certain ideas about art that their work really fits into, to just get out there and be shown with others, and to look at work from every aspect. It has to be helpful. Artists have to educate themselves as much as a collector does. But I have a responsibility to the collector mm-hmm. as well as the artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about, and you did just touch on it, but I'd love it if you would share more about the sweet spot, or also the challenging spot you're in between that relationship of art for art's sake and the relationship of art with capitalism. And how, and I know there's so much to that, but you know, you're looking at art for the aesthetic qualities, but you're also looking at it from a financial standpoint, a vested financial standpoint, which is very much, I think, which is very much the lens of Western society. You know, like the relationship between art and capitalism is deeply entrenched. I loved what you just said about not selecting artists because you think they will increase in value in the future. I guess the question I'm trying to get at is, what are some of the decisions you have to make as a business owner but also somebody who works so closely with artists. Like, are there artists that you don't take on because, is it a part of your criteria of selecting an artist, not just to look at the quality of their art, but also their public image or how they put themselves out there publicly, especially in our digital era where artists are marketing themselves more and more?
I think that's a real issue, because I do think that in larger cities, cities like New York, I think an artist has to be there much of the time. They have to show up. If you look at a place like New York, the rents are so high. Dealers and galleries have to support themselves. They have to be able to pay the rent. So in many cases, a gallerist won't take on an artist if the artist doesn't have a following, because they can't afford to spend years building the reputation of an artist until it gets to a point where the gallerist can afford to handle the work. It's very different. I won't handle the work of an artist that I don't believe in, because I can't sell. I'm not capable of selling something that I really don't believe in. I will take on the work of an artist that I do believe in that hasn't sold anything. And because I can, living in Buffalo, afford to do that a little more easily than someone living in another place. And I will work to build a reputation. But I can't build the reputation very easily in other places of the country, because curators don't come to Buffalo galleries to look at new young artists. They have to somehow, there are a few exceptions to it, but they have to somehow be ambitious enough to have a presence in New York in one way, physically or another. Otherwise, I can work very, very hard to help in any way that I can. But I have to really, really love the work.
Thank you. That's a wonderful answer. I don't ever use this in a pejorative sense, but you are a true Buffalo gallerist in the sense that you're looking at more than, from what I'm hearing from you, you're looking at more than the dollar as the bottom line. You're looking at these. You know, I always like to say that Buffalo is the city of no pretensions. And, you know, hearing the earnestness of how you approach this is incredibly heartening. Because quite honestly, so you and I have met only in passing, and very much in passing, but you are the biggest name in town when it comes to, you know, commercial galleries. And so I've been like, oh, I'm going to interview Nina Freudenheim, you know, that's very, you know, right,
big,
you know,
deal.
This big deal sort of way.
Yeah,
and
right.
You certainly are, and I still feel that way. But hearing also how grounded you are and how you understand this community and are part of it rather than just, you know, promoting it.
Just think how boring it would be if you just chose artists that you could sell.
Yeah, I know.
Then all you would be doing is selling. What's the fun of that? What are you learning from that?
Mm-hmm. Who are some of...
It's gratifying.
It's signal boosts. You know, it's gratifying on both sides. Like, when you believe in an artist, I get the feeling that the artist knows it. You know, and that probably also helps them feel that confidence they need to make the best work that they can. Artists are very susceptible to needing confidence. I mean, we all are.
We all are. That's true.
But I think, and that same way when somebody tells you, you're doing something that I see value in, I think makes us all, you know, try harder or feel that in ourselves. Yeah. I just had a question.
And it's wonderful to see an artist grow over time.
Can you speak about that a little bit?
Well, you do. Well, when you first take on an artist, a young artist, you like the work and you feel that he has great ambition and you feel that he has great skills and a gift. Sometimes you're wrong, but when you're right and you watch them grow and the work change and the chances that they take and how well it turns out, it's fascinating. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But to see someone stagnate is problematic.
And that's a fascinating thing too, that I'm kind of, well, I haven't really run into it yet with this oral history project, but eventually some of the emerging artists that I interviewed 4 or 5 years ago, you know, in a couple years, I'm going to reach out to them again and say,
sure,
let's conduct another interview. What's changed for you in this past decade? And there's some people I already know are going to sort of withdraw from that because they maybe feel they have something to share. They haven't gone somewhere. And there are artists I'm not going to reach out to because we're not seeing them the same way as we were, either locally or nationally. And then there's some who are too busy now to sit down and do an interview with me, you know, and that also is very exciting,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit, so now, what percentage, if you can say, of artists that you represent would you say are regional? Like, is that maybe 5%, 10%, 25%?
25%.
25%, awesome.
Yeah.
And I do know, was Kyle Butler one of
the... Kyle Butler is one of my artists.
He's
wonderful.
One of the younger ones?
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He's wonderful. He's a very, very fine artist.
And someone like that, you see it. You see it from...
Every time. Yeah. He has a great mind and a great gift. He's terrific. He's also a very nice guy.
He's such a nice person.
I think
that really, well, from my perspective, and maybe you can speak to this, being a good person counts for something in the Buffalo art scene. Like, I found that I want to go to the openings of artists that I know are...
That you like.
That I like as people.
Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
their work.
Of course. You want to support them.
Right. And there's some artists whose work I perhaps begrudgingly acknowledge is very good, you know, but they're not nice people to be around,
yeah,
you know, and so that says, oh, if I have a choice between these two shows, you know.
But in the end, you have to look at the art.
Yes. Yes.
You really do.
Yes. And I can absolutely look at the art, but I won't necessarily go to their opening.
Yeah.
You know, I might go
yeah.
on a quiet
yeah.
day or something like that when I know nobody's going to be around
yeah.
and something like that, but And the social aspect, I find, is very present in the Buffalo art scene. You know, who shows up at the opening is really where I see this community, is at openings. You know, there's not too many other times that I see everybody in one place.
Yeah.
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 Do you ever try to, and maybe this is more of a gal, you know, running a commercial gallery side of it, but do you ever take on an artist because... Like, well, you kind of touched on this already. You said you won't take them on. You will take them on even if they don't have a following, but sometimes will you take on an artist because you know they have a local following in a way that would bring
no,
people out?
No. I never do that.
That's good.
I never do that.
Yeah.
I just, I have no interest in doing that
mm-hmm.
because I can't involve myself handling art and showing art that I am not responsive to. And if money is the only aspect of the relationship, it doesn't interest me.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that. So, my phone, now I know you only represent 25%, only 25% of the artists you represent are from Western New York, but I'd like to talk about that 25% a little more specifically. Who are some of the local artists that you've represented, perhaps, that resonate very deeply with you? I'm just, you know, looking at your past 40 years, like, who sticks out in your mind as Duane? You know, you mentioned Duane. I don't know, did you represent
I represent the estate now,
especially.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Certainly Peter Stevens, I've shown him for such a long time. He gets better and better all the time. He's incredibly good artist. Certainly Kyle. Certainly John Fall, who's an internationally known artist. I've represented him since I opened the gallery. I represented in the beginning Les Crims, whose work I totally admire. And if he wanted to be with galleries anymore, I would still represent him. But he chooses not to. And there are so many others who I've represented, and then they've chosen for one reason or another not to show for a while. I've represented some whose work didn't continue to excite me as much, and I thought I'd take a break from showing them and see what happened after a period of time. It's a very, very interesting way. I don't show a lot of really good artists. There are some very, very good artists who are showing at other galleries, and sometimes I'm tempted, but I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't engage.
What's your, you know, what's your stable like? At the, like, how many artists would you say you represent at the moment?
At this point?
Yeah.
25. About 25.
Mm-hmm. And that's total.
Yeah.
And maybe at your, is that sort of where you've been throughout your whole career, or did you used to represent more?
That's hard to say. I've picked up a lot. I certainly didn't represent that many when I opened the gallery. So it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown. But I don't pay a lot of attention to that, really.
That's fine. I'm just sort of like,
yeah.
I'm trying to get a sense of who you are and also what your business is and also what that is within Buffalo. So I'm just, sometimes it's just for helping people get a sense of you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just had a question. Could you list the different locations that you've had that the Nina Freundheim Gallery has been at?
I opened at on Franklin Street at the old St. Mary's Seminary School. I was in the gymnasium.
What's the nearest intersection there? What's I'm trying to think of Franklin. Is it near Dreamland these days? Because I know there's...
Where's Dreamland?
Dreamland. Oh, gosh. Dreamland is right across the street from... Well, do you know the carpet place at Edward? The carpet place at Edward and Franklin?
Edward and Franklin.
Yes.
Franklin, not Delaware.
Franklin, yes.
No.
I'm sorry, did you say Delaware?
I said Franklin.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
yes.
I said Franklin.
Okay.
No, I was on the corner of Franklin and North.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there. Wow.
It was a wonderful, wonderful space. It was the gymnasium. It had a running track. Yeah. It was fabulous. And a big skylight, little garden. It was really wonderful. I was there for a number of years. And then I moved to Niagara Street and had a very beautiful gallery on Niagara Street. Right on the water. You could look out onto the water. And at 3:25 every day, the train came by. It was quite fabulous. Then I moved to Delaware Avenue. And from Delaware Avenue, I moved here. And when I left Delaware Avenue, I moved here with the intention of just dealing privately. I thought, I've been working a long time doing exhibitions, I'm just going to deal privately, and I couldn't do it. There were too many artists that I felt I still had to show. I loved doing the exhibition. I loved the continuation of conversation with artists. So here I am. And at this particular time, in this exhibition, I have a combination of local and nationally known artists. So when I do a group show, it's almost always that. And I think it's a very good mix. I like it.
And I think that's something that we do need more of, or we just need to have in Buffalo, is a reminder of what's going on nationally. Because I think sometimes, especially like I was kind of saying earlier with this whole Buffalo thing, of renewed pride in the city, which is very important.
Of course.
But at the same time, we'd also need, in some ways, I think it will even amplify pride to continue to know that
there are other things going
artists,
on in the world.
And that it's coming here.
You cannot,
Right?
Yeah. Can't shut it out.
Exactly. And that there's space for it in Buffalo.
Yeah,
you know? And I
absolutely.
Think that's a very nice
absolutely.
Point for us.
It's a great city. It really is. And you see so much going on now. And it's exciting to watch. There are certain areas that devastate you because they haven't been touched. There's lots of conversation about doing things there. That would be great. And I think it's fair and I think it's time. But we've really come out of a slump, I think. But we're not where we were at one time, and we're going to be different. But it's good.
Well, I do, but I'd love to ask you one or two more questions just about your experiences as a gallerist, and if you have any insights for young and emerging artists in Buffalo about what you want to see as a gallerist, and also maybe even if it's not through you directly, what you think they should be focusing on as they continue to progress.
They should focus on their work. Mm-hmm. That's really what they should do, is focus on the work. It's really important, I think, to make the work, to keep making the work, to not get discouraged when you're stuck, and to look at what you've done. I think there's not an understanding with all artists, especially young artists. You graduate from school and you think, well, now it's time, maybe I'll have an exhibition in a year. It doesn't really work that way. And they're not told very honestly what really has to happen. And there's a long period in there where they really have to become an artist. They're not a student anymore, they have to become a professional artist. And they think that they should make work and show the work. They need to look and see what they're doing and to spend time. And that's a hard thing for artists to do because, one, they have to live, and two, it's very disappointing. And they're usually very, very sensitive about what they do. And so the rejections that come hit hard. And it's difficult to just put that behind you and keep going. And few of them can come out and do really great things right away. Some of them just can. Most of them don't develop that way. I think that it's being an artist is a very difficult thing. But I think if you want to be an artist, there's nothing else you can be.
That's so true. It's interesting too, because a lot of people I've interviewed is fascinating, because I'm not finding that the more interviews I do, the more some universal truth comes out or anything. It's more like there's as many people as there are ways that they do it, you know. And some people feel that their MFA was the best thing they ever did. Other people feel that it saddled them with excruciating debt. Mm-hmm. Which is certainly something that I think has changed dramatically since the 1970s up until now, and just changed the whole ballgame of what it even means to be a starving artist, you know? Like, it's one thing to just not have food. It's another thing to not have food and debt.
And a debt.
Right.
It's terrible.
So I'm seeing all these different ways that people are trying to live their dreams, but what it does come back to is, For everyone I've interviewed, maybe the one thing I am seeing is that all of them are saying exactly what you just did, that they can't not do it. You know, they...
Yeah.
It's like breathing.
No, I think so. Yeah. This is what they want to do. And I think they know that that it's a long process and it's a hard process. And they all hope that it will be fine. For some, it's enough just to make it. You know, and they'll teach... And they'll make art, or they'll do something else, and they'll make art, and that's enough for them. But for those who really want it to be what they set out to be, it's a long road and it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a question that just kind of came to me. So I asked you your insight for artists, but what about your insights for potential collectors, like people my age, a little bit older, who for the first time ever, let's say, are having a small amount of expendable income? What are some of your recommendations to emerging collectors?
Well, I think they should look. I think they should educate themselves. They should look a lot at a lot of things and ask questions. They shouldn't be intimidated to come into a gallery, spend time with a gallerist or whomever is there, talk to them, read. Although reading is probably not, I would say looking is really the best thing, but certainly reading and educating yourself is a very, very good thing to do. And then using whatever money you have, buy the best that you can buy. Mm-hmm. Gallerists will give people money, give people time, so that they can make payments if need be. But I think that to buy the best that you possibly can. And try to educate your eye. You will see after a time certain things that you cannot tolerate anymore and other things that you really are attracted to. And you'll know in a way why. Instead of, I don't know anything about art, but when I see it and like it, yeah. When I like it, I see it, or whatever, however that goes.
I know what I like, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What sort of insight would you have for, I just want to ask you this question, people who maybe don't like modern or more abstract art, where they say, oh, my kid could do that. Well, how do you respond to that question?
Well, most people don't ask me that
That's
question.
True.
Most people don't ask me that or say that to me. Well, that still goes on in people's minds. There's no getting away, but if you can't make the transition and you don't enjoy it, there's certainly other ways to look at art that's as good as. But that's in a lot of people's heads. But I don't get that.
Yeah. That's true. I can't imagine who would ever say that to you.
Well,
would you say that the rise of mass-produced original seeming paintings, you know, how
like G Clay's
with a little bit of, you know, original paint or like paint smeared on it or something like that, has the mass production of what appears to be fine art affected you at all? You know, people who want a painting that goes with their sofa and that sort of thing. And
well, many people buy art that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have no objection to that as long as it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But reproductions come in a lot of different phases, mm-hmm. and ways. G. Clay prints are just that, they're copies. Sometimes they're not. You have to know more about the artist and what his intentions are. A reproduction, something taken from something that already exists and is changed to some degree, can be very original.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the artist and what their intentions are. But a reproduction of something, and why would you do that? If you're decorating a house and that's part of decoration, that's one thing. If you love art and you're collecting art, that's a totally different thing. And those who, you know, who are just want something because it's going to finish the room, it's a different kind of sense,
mm-hmm.
of their need. Or their want.
Thank you for putting it like that. Thank you.
Not much else to do.
Well, that's very helpful because, you know, sometimes I
can't grab everybody and hope that you can make them feel the way you feel.
That's
essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm. I often, because I know so many, you know, emerging artists, and also I'm friends with the people who started the Pineapple Company down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which to me is a really exciting way of seeing artists try to go at it a different route, you know, and kind of playing with the commercial aspect of things, but still, and certainly like Esther Neeson, who I imagine you know.
Yeah.
You know, her commercial work that she's making for Pineapple Company is felted pins and stuff like that, but then her fine art work is so dramatically different from that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I hear someone say, oh, I just bought this $200 painting at JCPenney's or something like that, I'm like, think of what you could get at the Pineapple Company for that to put on your walls or something. You get original art for a song in comparison.
Save your breath.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very helpful to hear. That's very helpful to hear.
But if they asked for your advice, saying they want something to put on their wall,
mm-hmm.
if they ask you advice, then you have an entree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. So the last question I ask when I'm interviewing an artist, I'd actually like to ask you as well, which is, what advice would you give yourself when you were starting out on your career, if you could?
You're going to have to work very, very hard, follow your own mind, do what you think is right, and go at it slowly.
Nina, thank you so much for taking this time today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.